Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, June 11th. I'm Stephen Overly. For U.S. tech companies, big concerns about regulation often start in Brussels. The European Union has been telling them what to do for years when it comes to privacy, online speech, and most recently, artificial intelligence. And after the EU elections over the weekend, the continent's politics seem to be shifting. So, what does that mean for tech? I called up Politico tech reporter Clotilde Goudiard to explain. So after a late night in Brussels, watching these results roll in, Clotilde tells me what to watch for next. Here's our conversation. Clotilde, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Thanks for having me.
Busy couple of days for you over there covering the election. Results are in. How different does the political landscape look today compared to last week?
Well, the European Parliament is looking like it's shifting to the right, more so to the center-right, with a rise in hard-right and far-right parties from France, Germany, and Italy as well, for example. We've also seen a drop for liberals and Greens across the whole of the European Union. So it looks like it's going to be slightly different. However, the center still remains there. The pro-democratic parties like the Social Democrats and the center-right still have managed to hold despite this rise that we've seen from the far-right.
Got it. So a slight shift to the right, but still a very strong center core. You know, I'm curious, we had European Commission Vice President Vera Jourova on the podcast a few days ahead of the election. She had been talking with tech companies and governments about disinformation and foreign interference concerns. Did any of those fears come to fruition here?
Well, actually, as you point out, there were a lot of worries about such incidents. But in the end, in the last crucial days ahead of the vote, no major attempts against EU institutions or more largely online platforms were particularly detected. I spoke just today to fact checkers who had teams across the EU in all of the 27 member states, and no major piece of disinformation like a deepfake audio or a deepfake video were seen spreading online on different platforms.
So it sounds like there wasn't any kind of last minute flooding of election misinformation, which may come as a surprise to some people. Why didn't that happen?
I think the European Union is much better prepared this time compared to the last time around in 2019, in part because it has adopted and started enforcing new regulations. And that's also the difference with the United States. Europe now has its privacy law, the GDPR. It's fully applied. It's been there for at least 6 years now. And its new law on content moderation, the Digital Services Act, the DSA. In practice, when I was speaking to people, they were telling me it's just becoming harder and harder for disinformation and misinformation to go viral on online platforms like X and Meta, because these platforms face a lot more legal responsibility to act. There's also more coordination. The Commission had set up an incident threat response framework under the DSA, where they had NGOs, fact checkers, also national regulators from the 27 different member states and the tech firms. And finally, one thing also to mention is that the European Commission, with its new laws, really wanted to make it clear before the elections that it was taking this very seriously. And so in late April, we saw Brussels open an investigation, for example, into Meta over suspicions that the company was insufficiently policing its ads and so was letting through coordinated disinformation campaigns.
Interesting. Well, let's get into the election results. And I kind of want to start at the top here. The European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, seems likely to have a second term, though she'll need to build a broader coalition of political support behind her this time around. What does that mean for her tech agenda?
At the moment, it's unclear if Ursula von der Leyen will manage to secure a second term as a European Commission President. It's likely that she will. However, we still have to see what's going to happen. The process is quite lengthy and requires a lot of backroom negotiations and secret ballots. She also needs the support of over nearly 400 members of the European Parliament. She might have to go to be safe either to the left with a coalition with her traditional partners, Social Democrats, Liberals, and potentially Greens, or she will choose, as she's hinted previously before, to go more to the right and make an alliance as well with the hard right conservatives in the European Parliament. To be honest, tech hasn't featured as one of the most prominent debate on the campaign trail, because the focus has been on defense because of the war in Ukraine. That's just at the border with the European Union, on migration because of the right of far-right parties, and on the European Green Deal. So all the laws and policies around to try to fight climate change. So tech hasn't featured heavily on the campaign. The one specific issue that was debated was a need to have stronger coordination and tools to fight foreign interference. So this was one of the topics that was mentioned, but von der Leyen herself hasn't made tech one of her core platform issues.
You know, if we look at what the EU has done in recent years on tech, which is a lot, it's a whole bunch of tech regulation that affects companies around the world, including American companies. So you have the Digital Services Act and the Digital Markets Act, which regulate online speech and commerce. The recent EU AI Act puts rules on companies developing artificial intelligence. How do you see this new parliament with this new political makeup approaching tech regulation?
In a way, the pro-democratic coalition will likely approach regulation like we've seen before. What's going to change is the right and the potential power from far-right lawmakers. That will depend if they manage to build their own coalitions to weigh more on legislation. But clearly, they will have a bigger impact than we've seen before. And when you hear them, what is likely going to be their focus is sovereignty, or what they call sovereignty, meaning focusing on giving more power, more advantages to European companies, but also speaking more loudly, I guess, on issues related to content moderation. They've been very clear that they dislike the Digital Services Act. That's the law that the European Union passed recently to force online platforms to better handle illegal content and assess if they could also have harmful content like disinformation on their platforms. These far-right politicians have repeatedly accused the Commission of trying to censor speech online. So it's very likely that they will keep on pressuring the Commission and have a louder voice in doing so in the coming years. And they could also try their best to limit any potential further action in that field. There is a broader push to change a little bit footing in Europe and going from regulating a lot to making sure that the industry and tech companies in Europe can also innovate and become big players. And that's a general focus that we're seeing that goes beyond the far right. I think we'll see more with center right as well and the liberals, even if they have fewer lawmakers. This is a growing shift that we're seeing in European capitals, within the European Commission. Going back to what you were mentioning before, while von der Leyen hasn't specifically insisted on a tech agenda, she's made it clear that she wants to ramp up the Europeans' industry in different corners, from sort of manufacturing. And when I say this, I think about microchips. And we've already seen this in this commission, this desire from the EU to develop its own capacities to design and build its own semiconductors. But she will try, or at least she's made it clear that she wants to give more power and more advantages to European companies to cut back on red tape and to have more leeways to innovate.
Yeah, I mean, there's in the US certainly this perception that like America innovates, the EU regulates. And I know that the European Union has tried to change that and is trying to change that perception. Of course, though, with all of this European regulation also comes enforcement. And right now, U.S. companies like Meta, Google, X, companies like TikTok, you know, all face various probes there in the EU over things like privacy or market competition. Do you expect those investigations will just proceed as planned, or is there an effect from this election?
These investigations are supposed to proceed as planned because the services, you know, investigating these companies are not political. So they're supposed to proceed based on the evidence they have. It is true, however, that the final decisions are taken at the commission level by the political executives. So the key thing to watch for is who will become the next executive vice president, Margrethe Vestager, who's been seen as the competition chief of the EU. Will there be someone as strong and as committed as she was? The other person who may not come back, or at least it's unclear for now, is Internal Market Commissioner Thierry Breton, that some Americans know and platforms know. He was the one who came to the US to speak with Elon Musk to ask him to respect European rules on content moderation. He's been very determined to have the Digital Services Act and the Digital Markets Act be enforced thoroughly, and particularly on big tech, so largely major American companies. So let's see. It's unclear if Thierry Breton will be conducted, if the French government will push for him to, one, stay in the commission, and two, keep a similar job as Internal Market Commissioner. So there's a lot of unknowns at the moment, but these are the sort of people to watch out for.
Looking toward the future here, what about the rest of the commission leadership, including roles that will influence tech policy? When will those be filled out? And what are you expecting?
The timeline is pretty long. So again, we'll need to wait first to have a European president secure. That might be by the end of July. And when this is decided, the commission president has the power to decide what portfolio she wants. So we could also have a very different structure in the European Commission. And each 27 country will get a portfolio and they can nominate the commissioners they want. Then this process will need to be agreed on and confirmed by the European Parliament. So, you know, long story short, we may see a full European Commission around November.
Got it. So it, you know, plays out not unlike a cabinet here in the United States, where like there's an election, the president wins, and then these cabinet positions all get filled out. We'll sort of see who falls into these different positions and then kind of read the tea leaves, so to speak, on what that means for the transatlantic relationship. When it comes to sort of the relationship between the US and EU on tech, do you have any sense of kind of how this new parliament, how this new political makeup will affect transatlantic ties?
Well, it's a bit too soon to say, I would say, also because the US might have a different government also by next November and next year. So that's hard to say. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. Again, if Ursula von der Leyen is confirmed as the next commission president, it's very likely that things will stay as usual, at least from the European side. So I think it's a bit too soon to say. The European Parliament in general tends to have less power over sort of bilateral relationships. For example, if we think about data flows, it's the European Commission that's in charge of handling agreements. If you think of all the major laws, DSA, DMA, it's the Commission again that has all of the power. So the European Parliament is a major piece in the sort of legislative puzzle of the European Union. But to be honest, it's one of the least powerful one. So I almost want to say, Stephen, we'll need to speak again in November to analyze what the commission looks like. And based on that and based on what happens in the United States, we'll have a better idea of what it will look like next.
Absolutely. Well, I am happy to have that conversation because I do think it will be fascinating, depending on the outcome here in the U.S., if, you know, we see far-right politicians, including perhaps former President Donald Trump, elected and brought into Washington, we could see a whole new landscape for sure. Well, listen, Clotilde, super insightful. Appreciate you joining us on Politico Tech.
Thanks, Stephen, for having me.
that's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.